Reading and writing. It's as easy as ABC. Reading is a basic and necessary skill that must be taught to every child. It's not a quick process, but it doesn't have to be hard. You might be worried that it isn't coming quickly, but the key is to take your time and not rush the process. I started worrying when my oldest hadn't moved on to beginner chapter books when we thought she should. But in the end, all it took was finding a few she really liked. And not long later, she was off and reading and reading and reading. Soon we had the problem that she was reading too much and not working on other subjects and chores. Now she wants to be an author and she's working on writing her fourth book at 19. We're having similar issues with our youngest, who is 9, but that is because she is our third. We've taken our time and not worked on the reading as steadily as we should have. But we see she's getting more and more interested in books. The key to learning anything for kids is to make it interesting and fun. So don't push too hard, but keep pushing. Slow and steady wins the race. Remember, reading is only a part of language arts. For us, there was no timetable assigned. We knew our kids needed to read, but more important, they needed to think. Reading can be more easily taught than thinking, but the two are obviously closely related. As we went through the process of teaching our 3 children to read, we followed the basic formula below, looking for when the kids were ready for the next steps. There are 2 components to our basic strategy for teaching reading that make things much easier. The first is to start with letters and sounds as early as you can, and the second is to read to them as often as you can. All sorts of books, board books, kid books, chapter books, nonfiction books, classics, poems, and fairy tales. Don't worry about whether they'll understand everything you're reading. Over time, they will pick up the meaning from context. The kids need a good vocabulary, which means lots of discussion and sharing and questions and speaking to understand and build meaning and stamina. They're required before reading makes sense. Walk talks are a huge piece of the puzzle for your readers that builds vocabulary and general thinking abilities for when it comes time for them to start reading and writing more seriously. Find books that are about or related to things they're interested in. But since you're homeschooling, you can influence what they're interested in from a very young age with pictures and through the books you read to them and stories you share. We have read many books and stories about horses, dogs, other animals, dinosaurs, mermaids, and fairies. An author that we love to read is Dr. Seuss. We would try to read the rhymes fast without messing up, or the sleep book without yawning. Even read to them when you think they are too old. To this day, we read books together as a family. The only difference is now the books are just more complicated and sophisticated. When we read out loud to the 5 of us at the same time, 6 if you include Butchie, that's pretty efficient compared to everyone reading the text separately on their own. We started phonics with foam letters and numbers in the bathtub about the time they first started to talk. We also had magnetic letters on the fridge and those classic wood blocks with letters and pictures on them. I remember lining up the blocks on the windowsill in the living room in alphabetic order and singing the ABC song over and over. Teaching to recognize the capital letters and their common, hard, and short vowel sounds is the first thing to work on. Use simple words that start with the letter and sound. As you go along, bring in the lowercase letters, explaining that each letter has a big and a little way to write it. We all have those ABC books. Use those too. Find a few that have different words and objects from the other books, or have multiple words and objects for each letter. Then, one day, while out to eat, your little one will point and say, Z. You'll look on the wall and there will be something shaped like the letter Z. They might not do this if you don't model it for them first. Point out large, noticeable letters on signs and labels as you go through your day. It all harkens back to understanding the human mind. You're literally training their neurons to recognize the different patterns and shapes of the English language. Before we got to a more formal curriculum on phonics, we started using workbooks from the store and a website called Starfall for Kindergarten. It's a very kid-friendly website and has lots of games, songs, and other activities relating to the alphabet, phonics, calendar, seasons, holidays, and even math and science subjects. Since we first started using it, it has expanded and now includes more subjects and grades. For our second daughter, we used their kindergarten curriculum, which includes a character named Backpack Bear. We had a bear that looked just like him, so Jess made him a little backpack, and Backpack Bear did school with us. Remember, keep things fun and interesting and try to link together interests and build skills as you go. Sewing Backpack Bear was an introduction to sewing for our toddler, who is now creating elaborate textiles on the sewing machine herself for entry into the fair. Next is putting letters together to make words. Obviously, start with short words that are easy to sound out. There are some techniques you can use to help separate the sounds and aid in the learning. We used touch and say and finger stretching. Touch and say is pretty self-explanatory. The child touches the letters of the word as they say their sound. Don't forget to use those blocks, foam letters, and magnets. Finger stretching is where you put out your fingers for each sound like you're counting. Do it slowly, sounding out each sound. Then say the word normally while pulling all your fingers closed. Work on having them notice the sounds at the beginning, middle, and end of the words. Once they're getting the basic sounds and words, start introducing digraphs. F, ch, sh, k, hw, ch. Then later on, f. Follow with lots of blends that are at the beginning and end of words. Sp, st, kr, tr, nd, lk, ang, ing, ong, ung, ank, ink, onk, unk. This is also the time to start learning sight words. These are words kids learn by sight, either because they are so common or because they do not follow the rules and can't simply be sounded out. Something we taught our kids early is that English has a lot of rules and a lot of exceptions where words don't follow the rules. We taught them sayings like, little darn D goes left, two vowels go a-walkin', the first one does the talkin' and says its name. Peopol, to help spell people. A quick search online can put you in touch with other tips and tricks to help get over the hump. With all three girls, we used portions of the K-12 phonics program. It's no longer available, but we ordered an individual at-home course. The phonics kit had physical teacher guides, student worksheets and activities, 30 readers with multiple stories in each, and letter tiles, but access to the lessons and worksheets was also available for a limited time online. Now, they only offer online programs, which we did not want because we knew we didn't want to be constrained by their timelines. Going at our own pace and having a flexible schedule was a main reason we decided to homeschool in the first place, which was wise since we spent about 2 years doing the one-year phonics program. This was one of the best homeschool purchases we have made. It has worked well for all of our kids. The letter tiles are great for visual and kinesthetic learning and keeps it interesting for the kids. Unfortunately, the kits are no longer available, but we had enough foresight to download and save the digital materials that go with the hard copies. Other ways the program kept it interesting was to incorporate games into the lessons. Simple little things like having them make different movements when they hear certain sounds that you are working on when you say a word. They had weekly assessments, and the reviews for each were some kind of a game like bingo, memory, charades, matching, sorting, etc. We also used hopscotch and twister-type games. It was exciting to see the girls progress quickly when focused, then have long breaks where they would use their newfound skills at the store, watching a movie, in the car, and so on. Our kids are now college-level readers, accomplished writers, excellent listeners, and good orators. I wonder how many kids in the public school system get tripped up because they needed just a little more time to fully understand the material they were taught. Reading is an essential part of life today. We do it all day, every day, so use as many of those opportunities to teach and encourage your kids as you can. Have them help read recipes for favorite meals, road signs on road trips, business names, comic strips, advertisements, book titles. Rewards are another great way to encourage young readers. The first time each one of our girls read a whole book by herself with no mistakes, we held a small party. Keeping track of the amount of time they read, the number of books they read, and giving rewards for reaching certain amounts is a great way to encourage them and show their progress. The library's summer reading programs have been the key source for this tracking and encouragement. We always look forward to summer reading, the challenge of trying to read more, fun library events, and of course the great prizes. Self-fulfilling statements like, "You are going to be a fantastic reader someday," are something else we made sure to repeat. One major reason why we love the limiting influence aspect of our homeschooling is that other kids and even some adults have a tendency to sow the seeds of self-doubt into young people. I've validated this power of suggestion dozens of times throughout the course of our homeschool. For better or for worse, it works. Most recently, I caught our 9-year-old working through some math fractions and mouthing to herself, "I'm really good at this." As she was ripping through the lesson, I started with her by saying, "You are very good at this." Give your kids a child-safe pencil and paper early to help develop those fine motor skills needed for handwriting and drawing. Just like learning phonics, start with the alphabet, then move on to words, sentences, then paragraphs. The physical activity of writing the letters while learning the sounds helps that knowledge stick. Frequency and repetition is key. There are tons of different workbooks and even curriculum you can find for handwriting, or you can just buy the lined paper and come up with your own things for them to practice writing. Occasionally, you will need to grind it out. For us, that was with writing capital and lowercase letters a dozen times. It was tough for everyone not to view that as punishment, I think, but we also tried to incentivize good behavior and progress with a trip to the park, favorite show, or trip to the store for a healthy treat. Copywork is another task that might not be viewed positively and seems boring and unnecessary, but it is a good tool for many reasons. It helps with handwriting, spelling, vocabulary, grammar, punctuation, focus, stamina, learning sentence structure, and writing styles. Copywork leads to dictation. Passages they copy or dictate can be funny sentences, informative quotes, sentences or paragraphs from books you're currently reading or favorite books. Remember to keep it fun, funny, and interesting. When I talk about writing here, I'm not referring to handwriting. I'm referring to writing to communicate ideas in paragraphs and essay format. Writing does not start with pen and paper. It starts with reading and talking. It's hard to know how and what to write if you've not been exposed to lots of writing through reading. The more you read, the more examples you have to draw upon when it comes time to write something of your own. Writing can come later than you think. Start with the reading, of course, but also talking together with your kids is important. Talk about the books you're reading, the movies and shows you watch, the weather, the people you know and meet, politics, world events, the activities you participate in, anything and everything appropriate for kids. Discuss how things got started. What is going on now? What could happen next? How it affects you and others? What could have been done differently? And what effect would that have had? Use logic to think through events and scenarios. Also tell stories and describe things. The girls all the time used to write stories about their stuffed moose, Lulu and Luki. Being able to first communicate verbally is easier and can then naturally lead to writing those thoughts down when they're ready. A good activity to help kids with descriptions is to have them describe an object while someone else tries to draw the object from only their description. The pictures can come out pretty funny. A similar activity to aid in learning communication skills involves giving directions to another person on how to do a particular task. It also can be rather entertaining. Have you ever read Amelia Bedelia? When you do start actually writing, start small and slow, and just like with reading, stick to topics they're interested in. Each one of the following phases can be done by itself for quite a while before moving on to the next and can be revisited often. Start with brainstorming. Just write down ideas that you could write about. Then brainstorm a simple paragraph structure of a main idea and a few statements related to it with a concluding sentence. The next phase is to write these ideas down in complete sentences in paragraph form. Repeat these exercises for a while before progressing to the next level. Slowly, you will add more sentences, spelling, grammar, punctuation, paragraph details, flow and transitions, and different types of fiction and nonfiction writing stylistic elements. A mistake we made was not having enough examples of what we wanted them to write. That is where reading, talking, and copy work can help out. Eventually, you'll get a well-developed, multi-paragraph, multi-page written piece from your student. Focusing on one concept at a time is another useful strategy for any subject you're teaching. Work on one thing at a time, move on to another, revisit previous ones, then start combining concepts. If they are writing sentences, focus on structure like capitalizing the first word, punctuation, and word order, not necessarily handwriting or spelling. Those can be done separately. Eventually, you will want them to be able to combine all of these different aspects into one neat composition. When you practice reading with your kids, let it flow, which means you might need to let them skip over words, say the wrong word, or help them out with the ones you know they should know or could sound out. To keep the pace of reading up so they can follow the story better, allow your child to spell any words they can't figure out in return for you giving them the pronunciation. This helps with spelling and remembering the word in the future, which lowers frustration with harder reading levels. It also teaches them to work to the end of longer words, and often they will surprise themselves by sounding out a complex word all on their own. Always praise the positive before correcting mistakes. Did they read that hard word on their own? Was the handwriting done nicely? At least on one word, did they spell something correctly? People, especially kids, are more receptive when they hear what they have done well or have improved with before the criticism. Remember to model what you want. Be a reader. If appropriate, share what you are reading with your kids. Offer lots of hugs and encouragement and earned praise. Have your reader stand up and read to mom and dad often. It's a chance to earn praise, and it's great, high-quality family time. We would recommend starting with Starfall. If you can get an e-ink monitor, do it. Starfall has free and low-cost subscriptions and a kindergarten curriculum you can order. Jess recommends Brave Writer by Julie Bogart. It incorporates art and music. Similar to other resources we explored, we did not use this to the full extent in letter, but incorporated many of the strategies and activities into our own homeschool. Here are several Brave Writer principles that apply to all of homeschooling. Joy is the best teacher. Look for the good. Be curious, not critical.